As previously announced, there will be no class next week, Memorial Day week. That includes Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. All right, we're on page 3, Roman numeral 5. Be sure you are not only in the building, but in fellowship in the building. I'll do the same. Dying grace is the blessing associated with the believer's promotion into heaven. Now, of course, this can be misunderstood. The means of death is not per se an issue. Unless you do something stupid and crazy, then it's not dying grace. But it includes the spiritual stimulation associated with a clear conscience. I'm finishing my course thing. You're in Bible class, you were locked in, and you were moving forward. Now, of course, there are different versions of this. It includes having a frame of reference, the fragrant of memories on the glory road, remembering where God's brought you. This presumes that your dying is a process and you have time to reflect upon these things. As Paul saw his impending death coming via martyrdom. It includes a proper perspective concerning phase 3, how many people die with this in their mind. I mean, believers I'm talking about. I mean even church-going believers. Honestly, how many think about that? If they aren't schooled properly, then they're probably not particularly preoccupied with the crown and earning the high reward, and that in their frame of reference. Most people got their minds on all kinds of stuff, and a lot of it isn't any good. When you know it's your time, you would think that God would bless you with the comfort and the peace and the adjustment, and none of the freaking out, and none of the feeling sorry and remorse, and all this stuff that does not glorify God. And that you're actually, if you're around other people, that you can be an encouragement to them as well. And we've had people here who have died, and they have gone out under dying grace. Dying grace doesn't mean, you know, some stoic approach, and the person wasn't freaking out, so it must have been dying grace. No. You don't get this category by, you know, now you know that, and it's different for different people in different ways, obviously. Imagine someone getting themselves in a lot of spiritual trouble and rebounding and getting back on track and then dying. Samson did that. Samson pulled that one off. I mean, he was under the sentence of death and did the switch over to dying grace. He was. He made the switch over. Because he had the doctrine. He had the volition. He knew what he needed to do. He didn't go, oh, I've done the final bad one and there's no hope for me. I slept with one female too many and it was the wrong one. And I lost my power and it's all gone and the plan's over for me. Well, that's what the STA wants you to think. He decided, no. I confess my sin. He did that in his own private way. Yeah, they had blinded him, humiliated this otherwise strong man. His supernatural power of great strength was taken away from him when he revealed the secret to his strength. As long as he kept his hair long, a male, and not cut it, and his last lover played games with him. Oh, Samson, just tell me your strength. Well, he'd tell him one thing, and it wouldn't be true, and these people all come in to try to take him over, and he'd kill him. So it was a cat and mouse game with her and him. Can't make this stuff up. You really can't. You cannot make this stuff up. That was the game they were playing. So the fundies wouldn't. This doesn't fit nothing with the fundies, by the way. Not even close. They wouldn't have reported this in any way like this. But this is the way it went down. And so all the Philistines decided, we're going to have a big get together. We're going to pull in all, because all these cities were relatively close. We're going to pull in all the dignitaries, all the highfalutin people, including her, everybody, and we're going to make sport of Samson. We already made sport of him because we have him out here pushing a millstone and we gouged his eyes out. So he lost his eyesight. Couldn't see. So we're gonna have him, and we're gonna make sport of him, and then we're gonna kill him in a horrible way. And that the final day is they're gonna bring him out there, in front of everybody, and probably torture him and kill him in some gruesome way that only the Philistines could. The Philistines were a very warlike people, not the ones Abraham met, but the later group. They were really warlike. Anyway. They brought him out there. Somehow there was he got himself positioned by querying somebody that he figured out was there, some small boy that he was going to kill too. Because everybody in that place was going to be brought down. He wanted to know where these supporting pillars were. He says, because I'm tired and I need to lean up against them. Well, he wasn't tired. He'd been in the place. He knew the layout up here. He'd been in the Philistine cities. The funny thing is he'd walk right into a Philistine city. And people would scatter. At one time he walked into a Philistine city and he got him a whore. No, you don't write this stuff up. And about midnight he got up and ripped the gates off of the city and drug them 40 miles, as I recall. Nobody does that. There is no strong man who has ever lived that could even begin to accomplish this. I don't know how it works either. I don't know how God can overcome the weakness of human humanity and take a person and make them that strong. I've heard stories where people have been demon-possessed and have had exceptional strength. I've heard stories of that. They get demon possessed and they get really strong and they don't even have to have a strong body otherwise. There's something that's energized in this. But this was Samson. So he prayed, "All right, God, you put me here for a job to do. And I got one more thing I got to do. Restore the strength." God answered his prayer. First he forgave his sins, answered his prayer. And he pulled that whole place down on everybody. He died, of course. Everybody in there died. This was a big setback for the Philistines. Samson killed more Philistines. That was his mandate when he was called of God. Your job is to kill and make life miserable for Israel's enemies, the Philistines. He was one in the Judges' era. He killed more in his death than he did in all his career. His career was measured on how many Philistines I killed. He killed 1,000 on one day. I can't even figure that out. Why couldn't they get him? Are they inept? Are they that inept? It must have been the terrain he was on, because he picked up for his war club the jawbone of a donkey. That was what they call the shillelagh. And he clubbed 1,000 of them to death. They finally left. And he was so exhausted that he was just like, he was wiped out. You'd expect that. He was wiped out and water formed in the cavity within that jawbone and he had water. And I mentioned Samson because he died not to sin unto death, though he was close to the sin unto death, for gross disobedience to God and his directive will. He pulled it together. There's always hope for believers. Understand that if you do something incredibly stupid and get yourself in the prodigal son bracket, there's still hope for you. You confess your sins, you call on God, and you get back on track. I don't care if you're 1,000 miles from here. I don't care. Remember that. See, I'm giving you, I don't expect, you never know what a person might do. I'm giving you this information so you have it out there. So you realize that there is grace for you, even if you pull a real boneheaded, incredible, evil stunt. and get yourself in a lot of trouble. The big trouble is with God. You call on His name. You get yourself in fellowship. Doctrine's brought back. Hopefully you can get a hold of a Bible. And maybe even you can get yourself back here or a like-minded local church where you can get back on track. Beat up as you may be, embarrassing as it might be, it's going to be a whole lot more embarrassing at the Bema seat. Don't worry about, well, what are they going to think at Merit? We're going to think doctrine. There isn't anybody here that's going to make you feel bad that I know of. And if they do, they're off track. They're going to welcome you if you come back as the prodigal. I don't care how salacious or whatever the nature of the sins were. It's just sin. And it's forgivable. You restore yourself. So, the alternative to this is the sin unto death. Again, the sin of death does not require that you go through all kinds of misery, pain, and agony, and that's the sign that God's against you, and He drags you out on the proverbial 100 yards of broken glass. Oh, yeah, He's put some people through. Some of them just checked out like that. Others, He drug them through some real miserable stuff, sin unto death-wise. He did that. He's done that for a whole all the Jews that got drug off into Babylonian captivity. And there was no mercy. There was no mercy for all these people based on age or gender or any kind of condition. They're going to march all the way to Babylon. And they weren't going to give them rest stop breaks when they wanted it. And you either survived or you didn't. And that was a whole generation that got, but everybody didn't die. Some people made it. Some believers made the long 500-mile trek. Can you imagine that, walking that far? Well, you know, obviously they had to stop from time to time, but that's the experience of God's people in the Old Testament. Their lives were ripped out by the roots. Loved ones, family, people all around them dying. And some of them made it. And here we are. That's what I like about all these people we study in the Bible, even the off ones, the Christian, you know, believers, even like Saul died the sin unto death. King Saul, the first king of Israel, he died the sin unto death under Philistine arrows. Because he disobeyed God and he dug his heels in. So there is the sin unto death. And there is a sin which is unto death. 1 John 5:16, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 36. But he who sins against me injures himself. And all those who hate me love death. But this could apply in a wider, broader sense to all kinds of people. People die of natural causes. Doesn't mean it wasn't the sin unto death. But we're focusing on believers. And God has, for some, a very gory way to go out. So, dying grace, it'll be there for you. If it's your time to go for the rapture, you'll have dying grace. Pray about it. If I was way up there in age and wanting to get through the next few years, I'd say, God, I'd really like to be here for the rapture. I mean, I'm going to be here, you know what I mean, but I mean, I'd like to stay alive just and make it. That would be a legitimate request. You can only say no. The elderly man, the elderly Jewish man who prayed that he would live long enough to see the humanity of Jesus. He held the Savior in his arms in the temple. His life was taken, and that was taken into consideration. See, some kind of innovative things you think of? I know it's close. I know I'm old, and I could very well die, but God, I'd like to just be alive and see the humanity of the Messiah. I mean, you don't have to be a complete believer, obviously, but I'd like to. And so he got to. Not everybody got to handle, see the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ in the incarnation. Surpassing grace, which we've covered, in phase three refers to the special blessings and rewards reserved for us in phase three. God has special blessings and rewards. The Bible makes a big deal about this, that all saints are going to be subject to an evaluation with rewards potentially to follow. There's various descriptions of this. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, author of the plan, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable. It will not perish with the passage of time and subject to the things that happen to human inheritances and human things. And undefiled. It won't be corrupted in any way due to human misbehavior. It's undefiled. And will not fade away. Will not lose its luster. Reserved in heaven for you. Who in the meantime are protected by the power of God. God keeps us saved, if you will. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a deliverance ready to be revealed in the last time. Rapture of the church. See how much he can compress? See how much doctrine he can compress in a couple lines? This was in the Apostle Peter's soul. This is what he thought. I'm sure it is in the thinking and frame of reference of many of you out here. And he says, if you're normal in these things, you greatly rejoice. Yes. This is something to celebrate and to rejoice in. Even though for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. But these trials are working together for your good too. Note that. Trials, tests, adversity. Of course, you and I have got to handle the test as under the Lord rather than STA stuff. Okay. It includes the terminology is taken from Ephesians 1:19. It is available to all believers, but not all believers will receive it. Some believers will fall short. Some believers will be saved at the Bema, so as through fire. There's going to be numerous instances of believers who just got saved. They believed, and they didn't rebound. They didn't do anything after that. They didn't produce any divine good. They're saved so as through fire. And I've been over these verses recently, so I will not revisit them at this particular time. But all believers won't receive it. Are believers here on notice that somebody could take your crown? Something could take your crown, rob you of it. You let them do it. It's not like, you know. That which is done apart from the Holy Spirit, which in 1 Corinthians 13, under the heading love, is rejected as human good, 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 15. Bible doctrine prepares us for every good work. We find out ways to produce doctrine we never thought about. And it doesn't all involve just overtly doing something. It involves inside, on the inside. Thanking God for something. That's some divine good. It's divine good production. You're thanking God. Thank you for that, God. Thank you, Father. Appreciate that. There's reward for that. So you can build up this mass of divine good. Bringing thoughts into captivity for Christ. Hearing something. Drawing a circle around it. Boom. That's human viewpoint. Doctrine of demons. False. Wrong. Bingo. You're bringing thoughts into captivity for Christ. You're exposed to things. In fellowship, that's divine good. So doctrine prepares us for every good work. Coming to the aid of another believer. Praying for another believer. Encouraging another believer. Being kind. Not phony. Okay, so you crossed wires with this person. You can get past that. Well, not that person. Yes, you can. Believe it or not, you can. Otherwise, we'd all be sunk. So, if a person, regardless of their past and their history, if a person is applying doctrine and doing what they're supposed to do, you may know this and that about them. You are to treat them as a member of the royal family in grace. Period. Oh, you were the object of it? You suffered because of what they did? Okay. You got to rise. See, that's the higher level. We hope that others will forgive us, and we have to be willing to forgive one another. As Christ forgave all of us and continues to do so, and the illustrations are numerous in Scripture and so forth. Peter denied the Lord. Under duress and pressure, he denied him 3 times. It's not good to deny the Lord. It wouldn't be a good thing, right? But it's forgivable. He denied him. The Lord of glory. I don't know him. I'm not one of his. As this little servant girl was making life literally miserable for him. Oh, you're one of them. So it was cowardly, but he was restored. He was forgiven for denying the Lord when you had an opportunity to say, "You bet, I'm one of his disciples." So he denied the Lord. He was forgiven of this. And not only forgiven, he continues to go on as an apostle and serve God. And is in this high position. These things you need to keep in mind with regard to your own failures and the failures of others around you. We want the best for everybody, even those that maybe have hurt us the worst. If we don't, then how are we Godlike? How do we fulfill that? And God can help you through prayer and spiritual growth to have the right mental attitude. And maybe someday you'll be able to come and help that past enemy of yours. And not in an arrogant way, but in a very grace-oriented way, as if they hadn't done anything bad. Because if you just apply towards those you love and you're close to, what are you? You apply towards all members of the royal family at all times, the best of your ability. Even those that have done or said something bad about you that's not true. Just things we have to try to keep in front of us. The special category for those who stick and stay all the way to the end. Again, this is reserved for those who are found faithful to the truth, and God's the evaluator at the end of their time on earth. And these are the heroes of the faith, that goes into that after chapter 10. This was the danger zone. You know, it's kind of like the temperature on your car gauge. It's normal. It's moving into an unacceptable, and then it's off the tracks. The Hebrew Christians were moving into the danger zone with regard to their spiritual momentum and attitude. They had gotten maladjusted, and I understand, long, chronic, economic suffering coupled with persecution in the land by fellow Jews day in and day out during all this time. But you see, it was about to come to an end. I mean, in the sense that Israel was going to go down. They had doctrine to get out of there. But they were expected to stay there until they saw the Roman military starting to form up. That's your window of opportunity. You never had to probably do that, flee something of that nature. The royal family of the Israelites in the land did. They had to pull up stake. But I believe, as positive believers, we're not going to have to do that as far as I can possibly imagine. We stay here. We stay positive. We stay with the plan and watch this whole deal unfold. I get these emails. What have you done in case everything goes down for survival? You can buy an extended survival kit at Costco's for $6,000. Get my credit card. I'm panicking right now. God will take care of me. And they sell all these other little things. You know, people have been buying stuff for prepper survival. You need a lot more than food to survive. Actually, I'd rather just die. Out of here. I don't care. that's all in God's hands. God, that we got these verses. Fall back on these verses. I will take care of you in famine. 1,000 fall around you. You'll be fine. Pestilence comes. Whatever comes, I'm for you. Those things are designed to encourage you. Sometimes, and I have said this before, some believers need to remember the former days. Your first and early years under doctrine. When you were thrown into this fight. You didn't just walk in here and everything was hunky-dory in your life. You had family that didn't like it. You had different kinds of pressures you can name and cite. Remember the former days. When after being enlightened, this is the order of events is God first gives you doctrine before he puts you in this conflict of sufferings. He gives you the doctrine. You're enlightened. Now you're expected to perform. You endured a great conflict of sufferings. He doesn't play down this fact. You people really came under it. God could have kept him from it. And then he explains, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches, lots of verbal attacking, and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners. Some of them went to jail. And accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. How could you do that? All your hard work and they just take it. Even if it's a little bit, it's still your stuff and they took it. Knowing, see, doctrine is the cushion. Knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. You just chalked up big SG3. Does that comfort you? Well, it does me. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. That's the hint with regard to the crown. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. So, for yet, in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, reversionism. If I pull back, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not putting up with this anymore. I'm out of here. I'm pointing to myself. I've had it. I'm not saying I have. I'm just illustrating. I'm done with this. Get on my STA. I'm just not going to put up with this anymore. The temptation comes from time to time. But quickly, with any reflection, you come back to sanity. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in his. My soul is referring to God's soul, which refers to his essence. Your persona non grata with God. If you shrink back. I'm not putting up with that anymore. I'm tired of being this. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. We're in a different category. And he can say that to these Christians. Quit acting like this. Get over this. Get past it. And let's see. Let's play this thing out. Because we got to play it out to the end. Excuse me. And these other scriptures. If someone drags you down spiritually, you let them take your crown. Whoever it is. They influence you. You throw away the truth. And you let them take your crown. You let your spouse take your crown. Because they leave doctrine, and you stay the course, or you don't. How many times I've seen that one repeated over and over again? You know, my experience here with a small congregation. I've seen it. Well, my husband's threatened to divorce me, blah, blah, blah. He's a lawyer, and blah, blah, blah. Big deal. Another lawyer. God is your advocate. Jesus is your advocate. He'll take care of you. But it's sad when they fold their tent because they put this first. And that would be arguably the highest category of having to deal with a difficult situation. Kids, that's another matter. Some people all act stupid. Are they, you know, we got the Bible. Are these people, they've had kids go astray. They go astray. They're believers. We'll see them. We'll see them again. They're believers. If you can take that heart, we'll see them. Everything will be fine. Don't worry about that. You don't have guarantees that they're all going to line out and be one big happy family. But that's unrealistic. We've studied too much. Just go back to the lives of the patriarchs and study these people and see what they had to deal with. All you can do is point a child in the right way, encourage them spiritually, and if they don't pan out, they don't pan out. You go on your way. Rejoice that they're believers. They don't want the truth, then okay, they got their own thing they want them to do. I'm going to let you go a few minutes early. Remember that there is prep school will be in session. So be quiet in the hall. Thank you, Father, for the grace that brings us together this day. Be with positive volition, and may these words produce more divine good and steadfastness. In Christ's name, amen.